Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to another show. You are now on the State of the Green Union. This is episode 20, and the name of today's show is hashtag break up the duopoly, hashtag take down the co-opters. I'm your host, Tony Smith, and thank you all for joining us today as we go over breaking up the duopoly and taking down the co-opters that are in the Green Party. Now, what we've been doing is we've been going against Bernie Sanders, telling him he should have went green, exposing Bernie Sanders as a sheepdog, all the rest of the corporate Democrats in the Democrat Party. We've been exposing them, and also fighting Hillary supporters and burners and the so-called base of the Democrat Party. Now, yeah, let's continue to do that so that they can launch a counteroffensive. We got to keep them on the defense. At the same time, we got to take down the co-opters, because the co-opters in the Green Party is what is keeping the Democrat Party in power, period, point blank, and we're going to go over that. So let's get right into it. Let's go and let's read an article. This is from Counterpunch back in 2004, because we got to go all the way back to 2004 to show you how the Green Party has become the party that helped the Democrats stay in power. So let's read this article. This is from August 7, 2004. It says how David Cobb became the Green Party nominee, even though he only got 12% of the vote. Now, this is basically the David Cobb scenario in the Cobb regime is Hillary Clinton's playbook. Exactly what Hillary Clinton did in 2016 is exactly what David Cobb did in 2004. And this is why you had the split in 2004, where David Cobb only got about 100,000 votes, and Ralph Nader went independent and took most of the Green Party with him. The rest of the Greens voted for David Cobb and then voted for John Kerry in the general. Now, let's read the article. It says, how did David Cobb become the Green Party presidential nominee against the overwhelming majority of the Green Party? The answer is quite simple. The Green Party followed a policy that is fundamentally undemocratic and allowed the will of its members to be manipulated. Same situation in the Democrat Party in 2016. Primaries, the will of the voter. In five states, registered Green Party members, who are the rank and file of the party, had the opportunity to vote in a presidential primary. These five primaries represent the majority of registered Greens in the country. The five primaries took place in, and keep this in your minds, brothers and sisters, California. So That would explain Eric Ryberg and his rise to running for Secretary of State in California. Because in order for David Cobb to control the Green Party, as Hillary Clinton controls the DNC, you have to control the state parties as well as the national party. Now, because the Green Party is a grassroots organization, David Cobb is only able to co-opt the Green Party through influence rather than authoritarianism, because the Green Party is forbidden to take corporate donations. Therefore, they have to funnel it through an organization called the Liberty Tree Foundation, which we'll get into later. But let's continue. The way to understand it is to understand what Hillary did. If you understand what Hillary did, then you understand what David Cobb has been doing for the last 13 years. Okay, so the five primaries took place in California, Massachusetts, New Mexico, Washington, D.C., and Rhode Island. And David Cobb has great influence in all of those places, as well as the Colorado Green Party has now become a powerful force within the Green Party. And oh, behold, the co-chair of the Colorado Green Party, as well as she is the co-chair of the steering committee, she's they're trying to take her down through identity politics and also saying she's going against green values, which she's not. The only ones going against the green values are the ones who are telling her that she's going against green values. Everything that they project onto you, they are doing themselves. Just like Eric Ryberg and his little flunkies like Eric Brooks are trying to tarnish our reputation as a social media radio network, saying that we're fake and all of this. No, they're fake. We started first. They stole the idea from us. Understand that. So the total number of votes cast for a presidential candidate, as recorded by Ballot Access News, was 45,733. The results from these primaries for the leading three candidates are as follows. You have Nader with 33,255, which is 72.7%. Cobb, 5,569, which is 12.2%. And then you have Salzman, who also ran, which was 4,953, 10.8%. And then everybody else, the others, you know, it was 1,956, which is 4.2%. But in those primaries, Cobb got 5,500 votes, which was only 12%. In the three largest states, California, Massachusetts, and New Mexico, David Cobb was defeated. In California, he was beaten 6-1 by Ralph Nader, and Lorena Salzman almost tied him for second place. In Massachusetts, he was beaten by Lorena Salzman, and New Mexico by Carol Miller. Both Lorena Salzman and Carol Miller eventually endorsed Nader's campaign. In D.C., Cobb received 37% of all votes cast. The total number of votes cast in Washington, D.C. primary included write-in votes was 374. Cobb faced only one local opponent, yet received only 138 votes. That shows you how much people disliked David Cobb when he took over the influence of the Green Party. In the Rhode Island primary, one state Cobb actually won more than 50% of the vote. Only 89 votes were cast. The primary ballot only included Kent Mesplay and Cobb. It did not even include New York's presidential nominee, Lorena Salzman. The vote was 71 for Cobb and 18 for Mesplay. Overall, the total primary votes for candidates who support Nader was over 83% compared to Cobb's 12%. Where Greens were actually able to vote, Cobb was roundly defeated. Nominating meeting, though. So the same situation in the Bernie Sanders campaign. Bernie Sanders overwhelming Lee beat Hillary Clinton. But then comes the nominating process, which is the convention, correct? The will of the few and selected, because that's exactly what happened in the Democrat Party, which is what's happening in the Green Party. Now, I don't want everybody who's demexed in the Green or the Democrat Party to say, oh, no, we're going right into the situation that was in the Democrat Party. No. What are you doing is coming over and getting these Democrat elements out of the Green Party, because what has happened is we have let these Democrats come in and take over the Green Party, because the Green Party is an inclusive grassroots party, and that's what they took advantage of, and we got caught sleeping at the wheel, period. So we got to take it back, because a grassroots party is easy to take back. It's not even in their hands. They just influence everybody, and everybody listens to them and don't research nothing. In all other states, Green Party delegates were chosen at nominating meetings. These meetings varied in size but were overall quite small. The National Green Party website never reported the number of votes cast at any of the state nominating meetings. This cover-up, whether intentional or not, hid from Greens the small number of voters that were determining how large number of delegates were proportioned between the candidates. So this is how he won, through the delegates. And the Democrats did it through superdelegates. Most Greens assumed that the delegates were proportioned according to a one-person, one-vote system, as the Democratic organization would normally assume. Only the Cobb campaign organized the turnout of their supporters for these nominating meetings. The same thing the Clinton people did. They got rid of all the Bernie supporters and filled them up with actors and Hillary supporters. Same thing, brothers and sisters. The only difference is the Democrat Party is a corporate-owned entity and has been for almost 100 years. So it has been owned, right? So, but the Greens are not owned, because it was created to buck this two-party system. So it is created grassroots. The only thing that can change it, if we allow the co-opters to be the influencers and we don't ask questions. Simple as that. When we stop letting Cobb and Jill Stein even and Ajamu Baraka and Cheryl Hunkala and, you know, even Margaret Flowers. But Cheryl and Margaret are good people, but they will be easily influenced by Stein and Cobb because of their popularity. The one person who actually can help as far as influence is concerned is Ujamu Baraka, but I don't know where he is as far as that is concerned. He does hang out with us, but we'll see what'll happen. But we have to stand as Greens. I've been doing been the Greens since 96, so we have to stand as Greens and continue to demand accountability through the grassroots, and it can be done. We found out in the 2016 election that money in politics really doesn't matter, because it is the will of the people that will generally win out. But the whole thing is, we can't be manipulated. And that's what's been happening. In caucuses where the turnout was relatively large, Cobb often did poorly. But in some case, Cobb supporters were able to get around their low vote count by packing the delegation selection. For example, in Maine, where Nader's name was on the ballot, Nader defeated Cobb 52-42. The remaining 65 votes went to 13 other candidates. In percentage, these votes represented 33% for Nader and 26% for Cobb. Yet during the vote at the convention in Milwaukee, 18 out of 19 Maine delegates voted for Cobb and one vote for Nader, or 95% for Cobb and 5% for Nader. So they stole the elections, brothers and sisters. And as the convention went on, all of those delegates did the same thing, just as they did with Hillary Clinton. It is the exact same playbook, brothers and sisters, because David Cobb is a Democrat operative who has come into the Green Party to co-opt it, and now he has Eric Ryberg as his lackey and right-hand man. I guarantee if David Cobb ever runs for president again, I guarantee you Eric Reibert would be his vice president. Guarantee. Now, let's move on. So this is how he got elected, fraudulently, right? So one, strike one, okay? So now let's read this. This is also counterpunch. And this was actually July 13, 2017, but it's really significant. And then I want to read another thing about David Cobb as far as him resisting, Nader and their supporters and his supporters. But this is Caitlin Johnstone, and I know some people don't deal with her, but she's a great journalist, and she did a piece, Joshua Frank did a piece on her and David Cobb's attempt to destroy the Green Party. Now, she is a great journalist, but she does do Democrat-type things in her pieces. So I don't know if she's been co-opted or if she was a co-opter all along, but just was towed in the line until she could get enough support and enough influence until she could move further. But let's just read this quick. So earlier this week, we ran a piece. This is, and I fight with Jovan Litvin, who does pieces for Counterpunch. He did a piece on me a while back. And, you know, I hit back at him. We fought and we fight or what have you. But that doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, they do try to, at points, do the right thing. So I want you guys to check this out. Okay, it says, he questioned some of the Green Party members, including ex-presidential candidate David Cobb, who served as Jill Stein's campaign manager, would align himself with Caitlin Johnstone, a writer who openly calls for the left to team up with the racist far right in order to fight the so-called deep state. And see, that's where, you know, it could get murky as far as Caitlin's positions, because some of her positions I agree with, at others I don't. In this battle against the deep state, Johnstone has pleaded with the left to work with alt-right mastermind Mike Cernovich, who is also aligned with Alex Jones. So it's all basically controlled opposition. It's the duopoly working. Trump-loving Cernovich, by a fair assessment, is a complete lunatic. And no, you can't see this is where I'm saying where the identity politics gets into it. But the other piece that they did was completely accurate because it was based on facts. But see, here's where you get some of the opinion brought into the equation or what have you. So this is why I wanted to read this piece to you, because basically they believe that Caitlin and David Cobb are trying to take them down on the right wing perspective, take down the Green Party in that form. But that's not the case. They're doing it on the Democrat side. And I get accused of that too, trying to destroy the Green Party because I'm a right winger, because I agree with some of Trump's policies. Well, why I agree with some of Trump's policies is because some of Trump's policies are progressive or are socialist, which is what I am, a libertarian socialist. So, and then also Eric Reiberg and them try to say, oh, he's a libertarian. I'm a libertarian socialist because libertarians, purely libertarians, they're right wingers, and I'm not a right winger. And libertarians don't believe, they say that they're socially liberal, but they're not. They don't believe in single payer, pure, real single payer Medicare for all. They don't believe in that. They don't believe in tuition free school from preschool or from daycare all the way to college. They don't believe in that. So the most liberal thing, or if you want to call it liberal, whatever you want to call it, is that they want to legalize marijuana. That's about the only thing. And the economic system they don't believe is fair, which is what the Green Party doesn't believe is fair as well. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So that's the situation, how they believe it's through the Republican Party or the right. But no, it's the Democrat Party. They're trying to prop up the Democrat Party through the Green Party, which is why I call them co-opters and which is why they attack me regularly. Now, let's go ahead and read this article next. Now, this is the Green candidate isn't yielding to Nader, because I wanted to get back to the 2004, because that's when everything changed. How Cobb was able to pull that off with the supporters is through the Liberty Tree Foundation. And we're going to get into the Liberty Tree Foundation here in just a hot second. I just want to read this article to you. Green candidate isn't yielding to Nader. Ralph Nader faces an unlikely rival in his latest effort to boost his presidential campaign. David Cobb, a lawyer from Northern California, who, I might add, when he was practicing as a lawyer, David Cobb, defended corporations in his practice, and then turn around and get into an organization that is going against corporations. They are hypocrites, brothers and sisters. They are activists only by being there. They're not doing it out of their heart. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference between a corporate activist and an actual grassroots activist. Because guess what's happened, brothers and sisters? They're trying to make money off of activism now. And that's why you have these stupid marches with these stupid-ass pussy hats and all of that ignorant going on. So Cobb sounds the same policy notes as Nader. Both oppose the war in Iraq and support universal health care, stronger environmental protection, and stricter regulations on business. Both want to change the two-party system, and both want President Bush defeated. Oh, okay. Those are the basic talking points of any lefty. Cobb has even worked as Nader's political ally. He helped build the Green Party's organization in Texas when Nader first ran as the group's presidential standard bearer in 1996. Then he served as the party's general counsel and managed Nader's Texas campaign when the consumer advocate was the Green Party nominee in 2000. A candidacy many Democrats say cost Al Gore the White House. And at that point, that's when Ralph Nader was brought in by the Democrat operatives that he was aligned with when he was a lawyer, and he has been co-opting the party ever since they stole it from him in 2004. Now, like I said, don't run away from this. We got to stand up to this and put this stuff out there, because the party is grassroots. They cannot co-opt it because of the 10 principles and 4 pillars that were installed in 1984, because this party was set up as a direct onslaught of the duopoly. This is the whole reason this party was started, because everybody thought Ronald Reagan was going to do good since he took the election from Carter, who did not have any wars at all in his whole presidency. And Reagan came in with the Reagan Revolution, which was the Christian right or what have you. So we let them go and run it. But then they tried to kill Reagan in 81, and then Bush took over, and then he ran the White House for 12 years. And then you had Clinton, which was his buddy, who ran the White House for 8 years. And then you had Bush's boy, who ran the White House for 8 years. And then you had the Bush-Obama-Clinton cabal, who's ran it when Obama was in it. And now you have Trump, who is the breakaway candidate. So that's the whole situation in the Green Party the whole time. We started out with almost 3 million votes in 2000, and today there's 1.4 million votes. Tell me where that was growth. If that was a CEO who was my CEO from 2000 to 2016, and I had over 2 million votes, and then 16 years later I only have 1.4, he'd be fired. But yet people still are influenced by this guy. And his influence, a lot of it comes through the resources through the Liberty Tree Foundation. And that's how he got his whole activism background, is because of that, and how they set up meetings and all of this. So that's the situation. And it says, let's just continue to read. This year, Nader's bid for the president as an independent again worried Democrats. On Saturday, He hopes to win the Green Party's endorsement because the Green Party pushed Nader out. Because he's not running as a Green, the party cannot formally nominate him. By standing in his way, Cobb, who argues the Greens would be better off nominating one of their own, him, and this is what he said, and this is why people never even question Cobb ever again. My primary goals are to grow and build the Green Party, Cobb said. The party is here to stay. The Eureka resident added, while candidates will come and go, even candidates as important and famous as Ralph Nader. And of course the Green Party was here to stay, but the Green Party is here to stay to benefit the Democrats when they screw up. So whenever the Democrats screw up, who do they blame? Who do they blame, brothers and sisters? So this is what we have to understand. Cobb is a menace to the Green Party, and he needs to be rooted out. Same with Eric Ryberg. And they both ravagely attack me. Cobb not so much because he lets Eric Ryberg do all of his dirty work. Let's read this article quick. And we're going to get into the Liberty Tree Foundation and show you who runs that. But let's read this article. It says, plan for November 3rd, Greens peace movement is ready to start civil war. This was back in 2004 because it was a civil war. Nader left. A lot of people left with Nader. And that's where why you have a lot of independents out there is because they all left with Nader. And now they have nowhere to go. So now they're back to voting duopoly again because everybody hates Cobb, who are still independents who were once Green. And then the ones like me who stuck it out, and, you know, at the time when this all was going on, I had no clue. I just was like, oh, I'm a Green, and Cobb's the nominee, and I'm not going to follow them to independent. I'm a Green. I'm voting Cobb. I didn't know all this stuff that happened. Now it says, look what's planned for November 3rd. Green's peace movement is ready to start civil war. A visit to the United for Peace and Justice page will show you a link to something called November Pledge of Action, No Stolen Election. And it's the same thing with the DNC fraud lawsuit with Sarah Frills, what she's doing. It's the same thing that was going on in 2004 with the Green Party. It said there you will find a petition signed by 69 of the usual leftists as well as a lengthy explaining how the 2000 election was stolen. There are already 23 actions planned around the country, and I think more will be added to the very list every day. During this search, we come up with the name Ben Mansky as the owner of the site. Doing a Google search, we come up with this fact: Ben Mansky is co-chair of the Green Party of the United States. So we can conclude there will be action in the streets come election day. The news will fail to report that these spontaneous actions are planned. Same thing with the pussy hat marches, but it was from the Democrat side. This was from the Green side. The Greens, the Ruckus Society, Rainbow Push Coalition, Cold Pink, and United for Peace and Justice are the new base of the Democrat Party. So Cobb allowed the Greens to become the base of the Democrat Party when they all left and went independent, the real ones. So that's why you have 42% or 47% independents and all of that. And that's why that's where all the independents come from, the Green Party and the Republican Party. The Democrat Party has been running on identity politics, and all they have is these Rainbow Push Coalition, Code Pink. All these people are their base. And it's been that way since 2004. So there you have it. And then, okay, so now Ben Mansky, he was the co-chair, and he's the founder of the Liberty Tree Foundation. Let's read that quick. Okay, Ben Mansky, an American sociologist, lawyer, and democracy advocate. He is the founder of the Liberty Tree Foundation for the Democratic Revolution and co-founder of Move to Amend, which David Cobb was also a part of. and the 180 Movement for Democracy and Education and United for Peace and Justice. In 2011, he served as the chair of the first binary democracy convention. Okay, so he owns or he runs and created the Liberty Tree Foundation. It says the summer of 2004 saw the creation of the Liberty Tree Foundation for a Democratic Revolution. Founded by Mansky during his last year of law school, this non-governmental organization was formed as a means to reinforce pro-democracy campaigns across the United States. Through Liberty Tree, Mansky helped solidify networks of people whose aim is to have a more participatory system of government. So they use the Liberty Tree Foundation to make the Green Party and its members the base of the Democrat Party and the scapegoat for when the Democrats get too corrupt. And guess who, where Ben Mansky gets all this money and gets all this funding from? He gets it from George Soros, brothers and sisters. In this article, October 22, 2004, no self-respecting progressive or green can vote for David Cobb. Cobb should withdraw from the race. This is by Carl Mayer. It says, no self-respecting progressive or green can vote for David Cobb on November 2nd. Cobb is so badly misled the Green Party members and progressives about his campaign that he should withdraw from the race. Many articles and opinion pieces by now have exposed how Cobb and his allies, working with Democrat Party operatives, rigged the Green Convention with the sole purpose of denying Ralph Nader and any other legitimate progressive the Green Line ballot. It is by now established fact that no more than 300 people nationwide have signed up for Cobb's president meetups, and as of July 31st, 2004, Cobb has raised less than $70,000 for his presidential campaign. It has also come out during the course of the campaign that far from being a longstanding progressive activist, Cobb actually spent his career defending insurance companies in court against the claims of workers and only relatively recently joined the Green Party. So David Cobb is nothing more than a Democrat co-opter. And Eric Reinberg is his lackey. Eric Reinberg lived with David Cobb for a while after the Demexit. At July 29th is when they really kicked it into gear to do the co-opting, because a lot of people started coming over to the Green Party, and David Cobb knows nobody knows about the Green Party and nobody does any research, so they'll come over thinking that, yeah, it's going to be different, and no, it's the same thing. And he actively sabotages state parties to keep us from growing. So the whole thing is to keep the Green Party small and make them so disillusioned with the Green Party and its non-growth that they'll just come back to the Democrat Party. That's ultimately the situation, brothers and sisters, ultimately. Now, as we can continue to read, we'll read where Ben Mansky, and we're running out of time, so I can't read it, but I'll send out the links so you guys can read this stuff for yourself. But basically at the end it says that the Liberty Tree Foundation was given money from Media Matters, but there are a number of other organizations between Media Matters and then to Liberty Tree. The one was Media Matters, and who controls Media Matters is the Open Society Foundation, which is ran by George Soros. So that's how the Liberty Tree is connected to George Soros. Is George Soros is connected through Ben Mansky from the Liberty Tree Foundation, which also Jill Stein is a director of, as well as Ben Mansky being the president and CEO of it. So this is why I snap out and why I'm against David Cobb. And now Jill Stein, now she, in my view, came into this as anyone would, thinking that David Cobb is doing a good thing, and she, you know, got on to the Liberty Tree Foundation, and she has, in my view, no idea what she's gotten herself into. So she's good. We can still deal with her. What we're going to have to do is do what they do. We'll put Jill Stein in. If they put her up, we'll put her in. But she's going to deal with the grassroots. This is why I say you got to participate, or they will just influence their way into what they've been doing for 13 years. So if you guys really want a revolution and really want to break up the duopoly, we got to take down and purge the co-opters out of the Green Party so that it can grow. And it's simple as that, brothers and sisters. Now, I have gobs of more information on this. You know, Eric Ryberg is just some kid who come into it. He has no real activism. He has no real experience in politics. Dumb and loyal is what he is. And same with his minion, which is Eric Brooks, who, and they run the Green Party activist page, as well as Intel something network, who is also aligned with their clique, and they own the Demexit page. And both of them together have about 500,000 subscribers to those pages on Facebook. And that's how they push their propaganda on social media. And then they push it through Green News Network, which I originally thought of and set up, and then they had the idea as well, and then there was a fight there as well. And David Cobb was also in our Green News Network chat. He used to be in our chat. I used to tell him, you have to address these things if you really want to grow the Green Party. And he tells me that you get more with honey than vinegar. Well, damn it, no, you do not. What you get is when you stand up and say, hey, look here, if you're going to be stupid and continue to deal with the duopoly, go right ahead. But the real people are in here. You don't, schmooze and massage someone's balls so that they can join your group. Oh, yes, it's all good in the Green Party, but if you need us to help you with the Democrat Party, we will. No, you say, fuck the Democrat Party, fuck the duopoly, and get your asses in the Green Party where you're supposed to be. And research it. Research it. You'll find out I'm right. So shut up and get your asses over here, period. That's how it's supposed to go. And help us get these assholes out of influence, because there's no power in the Green Party. You can have powerful positions, but ultimately the grassroots rule. That's why we got to get a bunch of people in here. So quit watching the illusion and thinking that, you know, we're just marginalized. Yeah, we are marginalized, but at the same time, we're being co-opted, which is helping the marginalization. So that's it for now, brothers and sisters. This has been the State of the Green Union, episode 20. Let's break up the duopoly and take down the co-opters who co-opt our party we love so. So thank you guys for listening in. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. And until we meet again at the appointed time. See you later, everybody.